Hey, this is Mark A. Altman, creator and executive producer of Pandora, and welcome to Unboxing Pandora, a weekly podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the new series that debuts on Tuesday, July 16th on the CW and around the world. Each week, we'll visit with your favorite Pandora cast and crew members and get an insider look at the making of this exciting new sci-fi series. And for more bonus content, don't forget to visit us on Twitter and Instagram at CW Pandora or hashtag PandoraCW and Pandora Writers. Now, let's open the box on Pandora. Hey, this is Mark A. Altman, executive producer and showrunner of CW's Pandora, and I am so excited to be here with none other than a Tree of Nine.
That's me.
And I'm kind of here with a Tree of Three, too.
Yes, that's me. Not to be confused with a Tree of Nine.
It's like a double mint gum commercial or something. I don't know if I should even tell people that I think we have the most brilliant special effects in the world when they see you as multiple characters in episode two. But
I know, it's going to be such a feast for the eyes. Like, it's always so trippy to see two of the same character. And I think, from what I've seen so far, I think we pulled off quite well. So I'm pretty excited for how the audience is going
to
react.
I know. It's not fair to your twin sister not to mention that she's here, you know?
I love it, though, because, like, as, you know, a film addict myself, whenever I see those sorts of things, I always try and work it out, how they do it. And so to kind of be on the inside, it's
and
fascinating.
It means that we get to work together. So that's been a joy.
Yeah, and we have done a few twin things. We've done a few other versions of working together. Never
clones. No.
Tick that off the list.
Yeah.
Well, here's the fun. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, obviously we wrote these episodes before the show was cast, the first couple episodes before we knew who were playing the characters. And so, of course, we had the clone episode where, you know, you're playing multiple roles. And then we cast somebody who has a twin sister.
Yes. I remember when I first met you, Stephen Tom, and I was like, I'm actually kind of a clone in real life. so it was really fun for me to... It's a little link to Atria Nine's mentality that I could understand a little bit, but it was so exciting for me. It's such a challenge as an actor regardless. I mean, having Corinna here has been a joy, but to break down the Atrias in all their forms has been such an exciting thing. And the fact that it was all plotted out before I even got here is so cool.
I know. It's just one of those weird happenstances that you're so grateful for when it happens.
Yeah.
But from our point of view, I mean, it's just amazing, you know, and it just makes it so much more easy and incredible, and that we don't have to do that old thing like they did in the 70s where, like, you have a stunt double who looks nothing like you. You know, you're looking over the shoulder and it's like, oh my god, they you know, that's not the same person.
Yeah,
even just both for us to be actors as well, I think is just so interesting. You know, my agent Sophie German back home is always saying, you know, it's such a rare thing. You've really got to find more ways to work together. Like, both of you are actors. Like, come on. And, like, now this is just perfect.
Yeah, we take them where we can.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because when I was talking to Oliver, you know, he was saying, you know, obviously this is, you hadn't really met or had a chance to you know, read people in person because of how quickly this whole project was cast. Mm. And I said, well, it's not quite true because obviously I spent time talking to Priscilla, but, you know, we met with you.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously we were so delighted when we met you because we knew what we were asking of people, like to relocate, you know, halfway around the world and, you know, to be in this completely sort of foreign alien, not so much foreign, but alien country. And so we wanted to make sure, you know, we were, you know, people who gel together, people who are excited to be there, you know, because we knew there would be challenges. And, you know, you just had such an energy. And, you know, you were clearly so excited about the role and about being part of this grand adventure. So that was, you know, really exciting. And then, of course, you and Steve Crozier, our executive producer, you know, had both, you know, talked about your love of traveling and all those places. Oh, the places we'll go.
It came at such a lovely time for me, all of it. I mean, I was... Literally, the day I put down my tape, I'd had another audition, and it was my first producer session. It was a real step for me in terms of being an actor in the States, and it had gone terribly. Like, not necessarily, it was just a really cold experience, and I was just felt like really separate from everything. And then I put this tape down just based on instincts, and in between each take, I was literally trying not to cry. Like, I was just like, what am I doing? But I really loved this character, and so I did that. And then a few days later, I went, oh yeah, you know, casting likes your tape. Oh yeah, producers like your tape. And then it just went... And I tried to just distance myself at first because I was like, no, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I'd put my, just I wear my heart on my sleeve normally, and I was quite sad. And then when all of this happened, like Erica, the wonderful casting director, she called me just to meet me because she's in North Carolina, and she just wanted to let me know she was on my side. And I was like, whoa, that, you don't get that in this industry. And then to meet with you all, where you literally just wanted to say, hi, we're just making sure everyone's okay. And I was like, you mean you want to connect? Like, that's insane. And then fast forward to this whirlwind of not only do I get this amazing character, this amazing adventure, but then everyone you've cast is just shockingly kind and grateful and down to earth and really, really pleased to be here, which is so wonderful, and that's such a welcoming thing to walk into. So it's just been a real, I keep saying, I keep waiting to wake up, you know.
Well, it's funny because I keep saying too, it's like all these, you know, when you see these actors on Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood or something, it's like, oh, it was such a wonderful experience, we loved our director, we had the one most wonderful cast. And you know, most of the time it's a whole lie.
Yeah.
And here it really is. Everyone loves it. You guys are spending all this time together, hanging out. It, you know, you were adopted into the family immediately when you arrived. And it's just, it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful to see. And, you know, I was saying to Oliver, it's like, I've intentionally stayed off the WhatsApp group. Like, I don't want to know what's going on with you guys.
It's really just Oliver and John giving each other crap all the time.
The legend, John Harlan Kim,
who, yeah,
you know, of course, was somebody I was not worried about. Because having worked with John before, I know what a lovely, you know, what a lovely chap he is. And
to have another Australian on set, that's
I
so
know two
cool.
Australians. Yeah. I know.
It's just true. An easy vibe. Like, for at least for us, to, it just feels like a little slice of home.
Yeah, and it's funny, we have a lot of mutual friends, but I don't think we've ever met before this, not that I remember. And yeah, I'm normally kind of like a socially anxious person, but I got here and everyone's just been like my kind of people. I don't know what's happened. It's really rare for me to make friends, this many friends, this quickly. It's crazy.
It's so funny because when I talk to you, it's like I learn things about my own show that I don't even know. You know, it's like, oh, well, that's really great.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's fun because just the other day we all went for Mexican, you know, which was lovely because, you know, it's not easy to find good Mexican in Bulgaria.
No.
But we did it.
They did well. They really did. Yeah, I've had a great time with food. Like, I think the first thing people said to me was, because I sort of have dietary restrictions, and they're like, what are you going to do in Bulgaria? I've been fine everywhere I've gone. It's been such a nice experience. And it means that, yeah, you can have a little taste of home when it's Cinco de Mayo and all of that. And so, yeah, it's been really like a real adventure, just finding your little locals. And I think even Oliver was saying, what was that restaurant? Blue Room, Blue something.
Oh, yes. No, I'm not sure. It's like, it's supposed to be a very nice restaurant here.
Yeah, they've got like amazing stuff over here. It's awesome.
See, I had a horrible experience with food because I thought I would lose all this weight because I'd come here and wouldn't want to eat it. But the food has been so good that I've been eating more and it's just been terrible. So it's been very disappointing for me.
Well, Rochelle, unfortunately, she's not as much as she is speaking up the Bulgarian.
I am slowly.
She did, unfortunately, was unable to read the signs at the grocery store and bought an entire cabbage instead of lettuce and has been eating cabbage for a week.
Serving it in salads for myself and you until you went, reckon that's cabbage.
It's 100% like a Charles Dickens novel. They were eating cabbage too.
I know, it feels like the beginning of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We're on rations or something.
Grandpa Joe's going to come over and do a dance for us.
Yeah.
But that's really funny. So you got the show. I mean, obviously we met and then you heard from, and we were talking about how great Erica is, which is true.
Yeah.
She was our U.S. casting director. We talked to a bunch of people, but I had talked to a good friend of mine, Ryan Kundell, who was the showrunner on Colony, and I said, you know, how was Erica? And he said she was phenomenal. He really sang her praises. And so, you know, I talked to Erica, and oh, she was our kind of people, like super nice, super passionate about the show. And, you know, you could tell it wasn't just somebody who wanted the gig, because there were a couple of casting directors we talked to where it was just like, they'd say anything to get the job, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Erica, you knew she was really invested creatively, emotionally, and she's just been great. I'm so glad to hear that you had that experience.
Oh, she really just opened my eyes because she
restored your faith.
She really did. It was so lovely. Like, she not only just wanted to say, hi, nice to meet you, but it was funny. Some of the things that my manager in the States was saying, oh, the casting director said, you know, where's this girl from? And I thought, oh, he's trying to make me feel better. Da, da, da. But when I spoke to her, she was like, I thought, where is this girl from? And I was like, oh my gosh, she's genuine. What the heck? Like, it's crazy. And she just was so excited about this project. And she just thought that, she just said it was so accessible, the writing, everything that I loved about it, she regurgitated. And oh, and we were great. Just on the same page. And then she just said, have fun when you meet the guys on Monday. Everyone's really fun. They just want to meet you. She's like, I just want you to know I'm rooting for you. And yeah, I was just, yeah. Just the biggest smile on my face.
No, you weren't being graded. It was just we wanted to meet you. And just, you know, we didn't want to go away for months on end, just have people who are difficult.
Yeah.
And we've been on shows, you know, where people don't get along, where people are difficult. And you know, we didn't want to have that experience. There's no way you can ever guarantee that. But it's like, you know, I just want to have a good time making great television rather than why does it have to be a struggle? And they've been, you know, I've been on shows where people really get along and other shows where people, you know, just can't stand each other. And
absolutely.
It's not a pleasant experience. And of course, you know, you've done TV and you know what it's like too when people are just phoning it in and don't care.
Yeah, and it's really hard because, you know, everyone's trying to get the same job done. And when you're doing something that's so high concept, but, you know, we're all invested, but you just don't have room for difficulty or ego or anything like that. It's really just everyone is so on board to get the job done. And it's there's such a great line of communication between you and, you know, Steve as well, our wonderful director of our first two eps, and the crew. Like, we are, you know, they're learning some English and we're learning Bulgarian, making sure that we're all in communication and in the cast. Like, that's what gets the job done. And it's been amazing. And you can tell that everyone has the same goal, which is the most important thing. And I really, your instincts of people are just incredible.
I must say, I mean, you know, we got really lucky because it's just between, you know, Erica and then, you know, Robin Carey, who did the UK casting, and we really put together, I think, a very special cast. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where you really feel like, you know, a lot of people, you know, go through screen tests, chemistry reads, and I've obviously in the past, you know, spent a lot more time seeing people and doing callbacks and doing the chemistry. And this was sort of like just going on instinct, flying by the seat of our pants about who we've, and it's worked out marvelously well. And not just for the students, but, you know, for the teachers. I mean, we have some really great, I mean, Vikash, who plays Professor Schrall. I mean, we just had a big scene with him. He was great.
Yes. Yeah. He's brilliant. And also, Tommy is fantastic as Ellison, and he has just so much gravity to him. And as soon as I heard him open his mouth, I was like, you are Ellison. Wow. Like,
and he's a big song and dance Broadway guy, so I told him we're gonna have to find chance for him to sing and dance and stuff. And he was, like, really excited about that.
US TV shows do, like, a musical number, I think. A musical episode, like, every 100 episodes or something.
Yeah, I actually do want to do a musical episode. Like, obviously not this season, but because they're very complicated. You got to write the songs music and, you know, work with the composer. So it's the kind of thing during the hiatus you got to really, you know, it's not something you can do in the middle of the season. Just, you know, but I'd love to do one. I'm not quite sure how we do it yet.
Yeah.
You know, in Buffy with Once More Feeling, there's a demon that makes everybody sing. And, you know, a lot of these shows, there's a way to do it. Like, this show is a little more grounded. So how we do a musical, but it's possible.
Well, I just saw the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia one. And because that show is a little bit wacky, they can pull it off in that arena. But it's interesting how every show kind of harnesses that trait and makes it work for their universe.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, you know, there's at the Black Hole where we all spend time, there's like an open mic night and all of that. You wonder if there's like a karaoke open mic night.
Many possibilities.
I mean, yeah, it's just, yeah, you wonder how they pull it off in 2199.
And it's funny, it's just like, even before we had Many as Christopher, I had to decide what our sets were.
Yeah.
And so it's like, because we had to start building. I mean, this is the kind of crazy schedule we're on. And, you know, and it's amazing because we obviously put a lot of time and money into the Black Hole. and it's become our big set, and it figures so prominently in a bunch of the episodes. So I'm really glad that it was a good decision, because I'm like, at the time, you know, it was big in the pilot, but I'm like, I don't know how many times we're gonna black hole, but I guess we should build it.
Yeah. You know? And speaking of the sets, they are just phenomenal. Like, walking around in all of those, you feel like you've A, gone into the future, and B, just in your dreams. It's just what you dream of when you want to be in this industry, and it's so incredible. We were in between takes hanging out in the black hole yesterday, and Steve told us where our group will likely be sitting, and we're all just we didn't even communicate it. We all just drifted to where we'd be sitting. Like, I think everyone was like feeling it out and everything. It's just,
but we were just talking about this before, about, you know, the difference between an audition or a self-tape, and how you kind of got to build that entire world and make it interesting versus when you're on the set and it's all there for you. And, you know, I know that there is obviously some green screen and CGI, especially in this genre, but the sets that you've got, it's all practical. There. It's all there. And with all the performances, everyone is so perfectly cast. Like, Rochelle and I were talking about preparing for some scenes she's got coming up tomorrow, and I was like, don't you worry. Like, you didn't even know what he's going to bring. Like, it's all going to be there for you. Like, you just do you, and you see what happens on the day.
Yeah.
I was so giddy when my first, came for prep, because, you know, they'd already started building. And it was really, but then to see you guys when I gave you the tour, how excited you were! It was like kids in a candy store. And you know, our production designer Cass Bonnet is just she did a really great job, and it's what I hoped also, that, you know, just things here in Bulgaria, they've been wonderful. The crews have been wonderful.
Mm.
Everyone's been wonderful. We talked about the food's been wonderful. Mm-hmm. But what's really nice is it's just a little different than where we're from.
Yeah.
So that little difference, that's just a little, you know, off. It helps us sell the future. So there's just something about everything that they do things, maybe they go left when we would go right.
Mm.
And that just makes it a little, you know, different than we're, and so even in these locations we go to, there's just something a little off about it that makes it feel like more futuristic.
Yeah. And it really puts you in that mindset. And I think that it will do that for the audiences as well, because it's a future that's not too dissimilar to what we have now, but it's tweaked a bit more, that we're launched a little bit further, but it's still accessible.
Yeah.
And I think everything that surrounds us here is so accessible, but it's just that little bit different that sort of makes you carry yourself a little bit differently. So you're like, maybe I am in the future.
and you know, I think, you know, I don't want to jinx things, because obviously we're recording this before the show premieres, but I think your character is going to be a real fan favorite. And of course, you have such a distinct identity, you know, as a clone, somebody who strives for individuality. So you have the purple wig and all these outrageous outfits. You're just like a cotton candy store exploded, and, I love that. It must be fun for you, I'm sure, working with our wonderful costume designers and things.
Irina and Gabby and Rosa and everyone in the wardrobe department is all so wonderful, and even in makeup, everyone is so collaborative. I mean, they had a very strong idea of what she was going to look like, and then when I've come in, the more we've discussed her, and like you said, like, Atria Nine has come from this state of complete oppression, including her physical appearance, and she's finally liberated and now wants to, it's like a child going to college, they want to reinvent themselves, and she doesn't quite know who she is yet or what her voice is, so she's just throwing paint in the wall, and the paint just is landing all over her body, and she's, and so, you know, that's really fun for me to explore, like, physically. Also, she doesn't quite know who she is, so she's open to anything, so, like, showing her posture is quite open. She's like open to receive things, to sort of absorb, and whether that be social cues, because she's not quite clued into them yet, or you know, also politics and like the difference between right and wrong, and just loyalty with her friends and all of that. It's so fun for me to explore those different relationships in her life and all the things that she's yet to figure out but kind of has an idea on, and she's a gold mine for me. And so if the audience gets a smidge of what is going on in my mind for her, then it's a dream come true. Because I think that a lot of people will relate to that whole idea of not really knowing who you are yet, but that's okay, because as long as you're open to new experience, experiences, excuse me, and putting yourself out there, then you're gonna find your people, and you're gonna find yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's a really exciting thing to explore.
Well, we talked a little bit about the whole idea that there's a character. It's like the analogy is you grow up in a very repressive or religious or strict upbringing, and then suddenly you go to college and you have all this freedom to be who you are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like Atreya, and the world that she comes from is very strict, and obviously she was oppressed. I think it's fun, and I think that was the appeal of doing a show like this to me, was that we can deal with contemporary social issues through the lens of science fiction.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, that's what makes it so fun, and just that we're doing something really different. There's no roadmap, there's no template for doing a show like this like there is for a procedural, because you know how that all goes. And,
yeah.
You know, medical show. And just like what we're doing is we're kind of reinventing the wheel, and so it's fun to sort of be out there without a net, in a sense.
Yeah, it's scary and exciting. I said to Karina, I was like, I literally don't know where we're going with this, but I know it's going to be great, but it could go any which way, and I'm so excited because there's so much, because we are dealing with issues and content that's kind of out there, but we're reworking it into this futuristic world. It could go anywhere, and I think that that's going to be something that people can really sink their teeth into. It's enough for me to sink my teeth into, and yeah, it's just, I can't wait to see what's around the corner. You're wisely keeping us in the dark about what's around the corner, and that's fabulous.
Well, I said to everybody, I said, look, I will answer any questions about your past, but I won't talk to you about your future, because that's life. You know,
yeah.
You remember where you've been, but you don't know where you're going, and so... you know, in most of the cases I know, but not all of them.
Yeah, and so. Also you've said, you know, as you're learning things about us, some things are tweaking slightly.
Oh, very much, because, so, more than slightly.
Yeah, because I guess we bring your words to life, and then, but in doing that, we kind of have to bring ourselves into it as well, and so that feeds you, and exciting from the writing point of view, I imagine.
Oh, it really is, because you write the first couple scripts where you haven't cast anybody, you don't know, and you hope that you're able to, but now that you guys have inhabited these roles so fully, you know, and I get to know you as people, there's all this stuff that I can mine, you know, for the character going forward. And so it just gets richer and more interesting.
Mm.
And, you know, I can really flesh out and Steve Crozier and
yeah.
all the other writers can, you know, flesh out these characters more, because we're just able to pick up on all this stuff, and we know, you know, what your interests are and what you love to do. It's like you told me the other day, you really want to be in a fight. You know?
Yeah.
You want to fight, you know?
Yeah, I do boxing, and I'm not a violent person in life, but I would love to be able to use those skills somewhere.
You know, today, Priscilla did a scene that was very, really funny, and she said, I love doing comedy. I'm like, well, you were great, so we'll give you more comedy.
Yeah.
You know? So,
there's even, you know, with Atreya clone sequences that I've had the privilege of being a part of, you know, obviously, you weren't to know that you would have an identical twin in your cast who was playing a clone, but it informs your performance, being able to really talk to your sister. And,
yeah.
you know, it's such an emotional access point for you. So it's like you can really dig into that sort of side to it as well. There's so, like, the well is so full.
Yeah. And I, you know, we even had that discussion the other day when through the audition process, because a lot of Atreya's darkness kind of comes out in the second episode, we didn't get to explore that much in the casting process. And so it was so fun for me, but it was so fun to show you guys of going, oh, there's all this variety here to play with, which is great. But when you were talking about casting, I wanted to ask you, who out of the cast, like the characters...
Who's my favorite?
Well, you won't say me, because I'm right here. But who has changed from what you originally imagined? Like,
wow, that's a good question. Who has changed the most dramatically since we cast them?
Mm.
Okay, I think I know. I'm thinking, this is just off the top of my head, so maybe if I thought about it longer, it would change. I'm going to say Osborne.
Yeah?
Noah Huntley.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of based that character, or was inspired, I should say inspired to write the character, based on a movie called The Paper Chase, and
Loved
John Houseman as Professor Kingsfield, who was this very intimidating professor, very stern, and, you know, and that was kind of my inspiration, because of the way that these, you know, teachers can inspire someone, and the teacher doesn't even realize they've done it. It's like the end of that movie, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You know, he goes up and says, Professor Kingfield, you know, I just want you to know how important you were to me, and, you know, how you changed my life. And he goes, and what's your name again? It's like,
yeah.
he thought he was the center of his universe.
Breaks your heart.
You know, and so to me, that was sort of the inspiration for Osborn. But the way that Noah has brilliantly played him is very different. He's not as intimidating and as stern and as I saw, he's doing a completely different kind of performance, which is actually far more layered and far more interesting than I think what I originally imagined. And you know, he's more mysterious and enigmatic, but you know, he's more like a snake, you know, where he just like lures you in, but then he can.
Yeah, he's got like a real dangerous air to him, I think, which is probably more effective in the sense that because the character in the paper chase, he's very interesting, but he's very separate. Like the characters are constantly observing him, where Osborn is very central to the storyline, so we follow him kind of as well. So having more layers to him is much more
And
exciting.
I was so impressed with Noah those first couple of days. And everyone would go, say, isn't Noah great? And it was always the same thing. Whether it was men or women, they go, he's so good looking. And I'm like, yeah, but he was great, right? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, he was great. And I go to somebody else and say, how wasn't Noah terrific? So good looking. And I'm like, what? It literally 4 or 5 times has happened where I'm just like, wow, I'm so happy with that performance. Noah was just terrific. He's like, yeah, he's so good looking. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, we know who the fan favorite's really going to be then, don't we?
It's so funny because, I mean, even I remember when he was cast, I forget who was, but one of the executives was saying, everyone here just gay, straight, they all loved him.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, I said, you're like James Bond. I said, women want to be with you, men want to be you. he's great. And it was funny because, you know, he had done his homework because, you know, he had called me before we started shooting and probably had an hour and a half call just talking about the character. You know, he had all these questions about the backstory of the universe and about his character. And I think it really paid off because you can see so many layers to that. You know, that character. And again, talking about it with him helped me sort of adjust his arc and his voice and it's really interesting. I mean, I love that whole experience.
Yeah, I think it's super important when working on something to be in contact with the people who are making it, because you get an insight as to how each other's brains work, and then you know how I'm approaching a performance, and then you know what might either work really well with that, or it might, you know, throw me off a little bit to make me take another step in a different direction or whatever. And I from my experience from other jobs that I've had, it's just to have accessibility to the people writing or editing or any part of the behind the scenes, because we're all making this thing happen.
Yeah.
And I think that the more educated you can be on what everyone's job is and how they're approaching it and how they're making this magic happen, it makes us all much better. I don't know the science behind it, but when you step on that set, you just feel more informed, and information is power, and you feel more a part of the world.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, before we wrap up, I gotta ask you, so do you have a favorite science fiction series or something that you like or
I really liked the science fiction series. It's completely, you know, the one with Kelsey and I watched it with the man from Lost.
The 100.
No.
Oh, well, there is a man from Lost.
Is it? I'll look up his look it up right now.
The
it was
man from Terrio Quinn.
No, it was the name. It was a odd name. I'm so sorry. This is gonna
take.
No,
you can cut all this out.
It was. I really liked the first season of it. And Sense8, that's what it was.
Oh, Sense8.
I thought that was really cool. There was something really, and they sort of addressed really awesome issues again with, like, there was a transgender character, and I thought that was, it was beautifully done, but then it was a real mind warp, but I was really captivated throughout it, and the first season just really drew me in. It was really impressive.
Yeah, no, people love that show, and they spent a lot of money on it. I mean, I think their craft services is what we're spending. So, you know, it's an impressive show, and that's a good answer. I mean, you know, and I hope that this show, the audience transcends just science fiction fans.
I think it will.
About so many things coming of age, college, you know, I think there's a whole conspiracy Game of Thrones element with Osborne and Reagan. Yeah. And
I mean, I will say, I think I've auditioned for a number of science fiction, whether it be a film or a TV show in the past, and they're usually hard for me to get through because I
pick the scripts.
I drown in the jargon. And I can't focus on the story.
Especially on paper, it's really hard to invest, like, as to build the world without being there.
Yeah, and I will say that I got this script and I started reading it immediately, and I think I got 15-20 pages in and I stopped reading. I emailed my team and went, this is really good. Oh, and then my team responded and said, yeah, this is going to be great. And I flew through it, and I've read it multiple times since, and it's the most accessible script I've ever read in this genre. And it's something that, like you said, it transcends completely. The amount of layers it has, I think, will cover so many different bases and audiences. So I just can't wait to see what those audiences are.
Before I let you go, here's my last question. So tomorrow you're playing Dungeons and Dragons with our next director. And
I did hear that, yes.
And Oliver and Priscilla and the whole gang. So do you have any idea who your characters are going
to
be?
Yeah, so we were talking about this on the way in. Oliver was explaining it to us. And I've decided that I'm going to be an elf.
Okay.
Because I've always wanted to play an elf, so why not now? And she's a female, and all I know right now is her first name is Willow, but I don't know her last name, and I want it to be alliteration. And
we were saying Weaving.
No, yeah, because that's because Hugo Weaving.
Stick on the Australia train.
But I'm still working out her last name. If you have any ideas, you let me know. You're the writer. So I know I'm playing an elf, lady elf named Willow. So far, what are you?
I think I'm a half orc female. Okay. That's all I've come up with. I haven't done my research about orc names yet. I like Sienna Miller a lot, so I want to say Sienna, but that doesn't sound very orcish. So I will come back to you at a later
time. It's a whole other world, Dungeons and Dragons. I've never played it. I don't quite understand it, but I'm very excited to see what we do with this.
It's gonna be great. I'm not gonna play. I'm gonna watch because because obviously, I can just plumb things from everyone. So
we're writing it for you.
Do you have a character that you normally play?
Yeah, I might. Yes.
Oh, yes. You're not going to tell us?
No, I'm not good. But I'm not gonna trot them out for tomorrow. Okay. I want to watch and observe and Chris Gossett, our director, who's also the Dungeon Master, is going to do a wonderful job.
Oh, yes. He's
very passionate.
He is. And he looks like a great storyteller, so I'm pretty excited.
He is. I think it's going to be fun. And we'll have to have you back on another podcast to talk about how the campaign goes. Karina, so great to have you here.
Thank you.
Rochelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll revisit with you soon. And for everybody out there listening, thank you. I hope you're enjoying Get Ready for Pandora on the CW and on around the world on your favorite network.